even more of a privilege is knowing our God. At ito ang ginagawa natin sa ating serye, kilalanin ang ating Diyos. At ang napakaganda rito ay nagpakilala siya. Hindi tayo pwede maglagay ng sarili nating pagkakakilanlan sa Diyos kung anong gusto natin sa Kanya. Nagpakilala siya at yung mga pagpapakilala niya ay dun sa tinatawag nating attributes. And there are many ways to classify the attributes of God. There is not one way. Pero ang pinili natin ay itong attributes, classify them as attributes of greatness. Attributes of greatness and attributes of goodness. At ito ay in order to appropriately pertain to the way we respond to the attributes of God. Paano tayo tumutugon sa mga katangian ng Diyos ay pagpupuri at pagpapasalamat. Ito ang dalawang katugunan sa mga katangian ng Diyos. And so far, we have looked at the spirituality of God, God's spirituality, which is in the sense that God is spirit, God is not material, God is not physical, kaya hindi natin siya maaring irepresenta sa pamagitan ng mga imahe na physical at sabihin natin na ito ang Diyos. And then, His self-existence, only God is self-existent in the sense na siya lamang ang nananatili na batay sa kanyang sarili. Tayong lahat, we exist in derivation of something else. We are derived from outside of ourselves. Tayo'y nanggaling sa labas sa atin, kaya tayo nananatili. Only God is self-existent, so life and existence are grounded in God alone. Ngayon ay sisimulan natin, it will take I think 2 sessions, sisimulan natin tingnan ang tinatawag na infinity, ang pagkakawalang hanggan ng ating Diyos. We know infinity from the symbol we have learned in high school geometry. Isa pa yung constancy pala na pinag-aralan natin last Sunday in terms of His consistency, immutability, as well as eternity. Well, today we consider infinity. Natutunan natin sa ating high school geometry ang symbol of infinity. Siguro kaya ganyan ang symbol ay you don't know where it begins, you don't know where it ends, and it seems to be going on and on. So, ganyan ang infinity. In mathematical definition, infinity is an unbounded quantity greater than every real number. Huwag akong tanungin niyo kung anong mga ibig sabihin ng real number at iba pang mga bagay na yan, pero I'm just giving you the mathematical definition of what infinity is. Pero yung interesting word dito na aking gagamitin ay itong unbounded, walang hangganan, walang boundary. At tayo, may alam tayo mga boundary, paglabas natin o paglampas natin ng boundary ng bae, siguro punta na tayo ng Los Baños. So merong boundary, territories are bounded. You and I are bounded, all of us are bounded. But when we talk of infinity, God is not bounded, there is no boundary in God. But you will notice, pag sinabi nating infinity, the very word infinity is a negation. Because we live in a finite existence, we can only think of infinity by way of negation. Ibig sabihin, kung ano ang infinity ay in terms of negating it. Finite is the positive term. Infinite is the negative term. So ganun ang infinity. Hindi natin maisip kasi kung anong infinity because of our finite existence. So we can only think of infinity by way of negation as well as comparison. At yan ang tinitingnan natin sa infinity ng Panginoon. And only God is infinite. And one thing about the infinity of God, it is an infinity of a personal being. And in that sense, only God is both personal and infinite. Yung ibang mga Diyos o ibang mga dinidiyos ng mga pagano, they are either personal but finite or infinite but impersonal. Pero hindi nila kayang pagsamahin sa kanilang konsepto yung both personal and infinite. For example, this is Zeus. Na-encounter na natin minsan. Zeus is the chief of the Greek pantheon, yung mga struktura ng mga Diyos ng mga Griego. siya ang pinakapinuno, pero even Zeus is finite. Marami siyang mga pagkakamali din, kaya nagkaroon pa ng ibang mga Diyos dahil sa kanyang pagkakamali. Hindi na natin titingnan yung kanyang kwento, but that is all that the pagan conception can attain. Ang kaya lang abutin ng konsepto ng mga pagano ay personal na Diyos, pero may mga limitasyon. O kaya naman, kung magkaroon sila ng konsepto ng walang limitasyon, hindi personal. But only the biblical concept of God combines together both the God who is infinite and the God who is personal. So when we come to the concept of God, again, we come to the comparison ng God and everything else. God is infinite. Everything else is finite. So only God is without bounds, and all of all things, walang anumang existence na walang limitasyon. Everything has limits. Only God is limitless. So in what sense is God without bounds? Titingnan natin ito sa tatlong dimension. And we can only consider for now the first. But yung tatlong dimension na yan is that God is not bound by space. Hindi siya limitado ng espasyo o ng lugar, which we call immensity. And then God is not bound in power, which we call omnipotence. And then God is not bound in knowledge, which we call omniscience. So itong dalawa na not bound in power, omnipotence, not bound in knowledge, omniscience, titingnan natin the next time that we deal with this, probably first Sunday of April, God willing. Pero yung gusto kong tingnan lang natin muna ngayon ay itong una, God in His infinite, limitless existence is not bound by space. Kung papansin niyo, ang ginamit kong salita rito ay immensity. Siguro magtataka kayo. Yung ibang salita ay omnipotence, omniscience. You expect the more traditional term na omnipresence. I will explain why I consider omnipresence a problem term. Pero tingnan natin itong the immensity of God. Pag sinabi natin immensity, it means at any single moment, kailanman, anumang sandali, there is nowhere that God is not present in His creation. Sa buong nilikha niya, naroon ang Diyos. Walang pagkakataon na merong bahagi ng nilikha na wala doon ang Diyos. Naroon lagi ang Diyos. Tayo, hindi maaring nasa ibang mga lugar kapag tayo narito. Kapag tayo narito, narito tayo. Alam ko, maring ang isip nyo nasa ibang lugar, pero yung katawan natin, nandito lang. Hindi tayo maaring nasa ibang lugar sa isang pagkakataon. But in the case of God, unang hari, 8:27 sa pagkakataon ng pag-aalay ni Solomon ng templo, ito ang kanyang sinabi sa kanyang pananalangin. Ngunit totoo bang maninirahan ng Diyos sa lupa, sa langit, sa pinakamataas na langit, ta hindi ka magkakasya gaano pa sa bahay na ito na aking itinayo? So pansinin ninyo na the space, binanggit niya rito yung realm of space in terms of heaven, the heaven of heavens, and they cannot contain God. Hindi nila magpagkakasya ang Diyos. At gaano pa yung kaya, alam ni Solomon, hindi siya kagaya ng mga pagano na kapag nagtayo ng templo, iniisip nila tirahan ng kanilang Diyos. Walang ganung konsepto sa Biblia. Huwag po nating isipin na ang simbahan o templo ay ginawang tirahan ng Diyos. Sa pagkakataon ng pag-aalay ng templo, alam ni Solomon, hindi ito bahay ng Diyos in a formal sense na doon naninirahan si Yahweh. Hindi nga mapagkasya kahit sa ang larangan. And then in Jeremiah, sa Jeremias, ako ba'y Diyos lamang sa malapit at hindi sa malayo? Sabi ng Panginoon, makapagtatago ba ang isang tao sa mga lihim na dako upang hindi ko siya makita? Sabi ng Panginoon, hindi ba pinupuno ko ang langit at ang lupa? Sabi ng Panginoon. Pagsamahin ninyo itong dalawang to, because I have something to say that's very important about God's immensity. Yung una sinabi, hindi mapagkasya. Ngayon dito, pinupuno. God fills the heaven and the earth. So, isang bagay ito na dapat nating matutunan tungkol sa pagka sa pangkalahatan ng ating Diyos. When we say God is immense, it is not equivalent to saying this is where omnipresence is wrong. Ang nagiging pangyayari lang is God is everywhere. That's not the same. Pag sinabi mong God is everywhere or God is here, God is there, God is also somewhere else, ang nangyayari ay you are saying God is contained. Nilalaman ng isang espasyo ang Diyos at nilalaman din siya sa ibang mga espasyo. And that is not the same. God is not simply saying God is everywhere. In fact, God is not contained by space at all. You cannot speak of God being somewhere in space. If we can illustrate it, even if it is an imperfect illustration, space itself is limited. There is a boundary to space. And even scientists today will tell you that. Kahit na yung mga naniniwala sa Big Bang Theory, sinasabi nila space is still expanding. I'm not a believer in the Big Bang Theory, but even then, ang sinasabi nila, space is limited. Even in the best scientific theories, hindi nila sinasabing space is unlimited. There is a boundary to space. Somewhere out there, space will have its edge. Daratnan mo yung dulo ng espasyo. Therefore, space does not contain God. If you can illustrate it this way, God is bigger than space. And therefore, space itself is filled by God. It is not space that contains God. Hindi nilalaman ng espasyo ng anumang lugar ang Diyos. Kaya hindi katumbas na sabihin natin God is immense, na God is everywhere. We cannot say that God is somewhere as though He is contained by space. He fills space. He contains space. Space does not contain God. In fact, God sets the limit of everything, including space. Only God has no limits. Ang sabi niya sa Job, or who has shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb. These are poetic words. Pero ang sinasabi niya riyan ay sinarhan niya ang karagatan. When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop. This is very poetic language, pero the point is, it was God who set the limit to everything. Kasama na yung space, may limitasyon yan. Somewhere mararating mo ang dulo. But only God is without any dulo, without any hangganan, without boundary. Kaya hindi katumbas na sabihin natin God is immense, na God is everywhere. God is not in a space. Space is contained by God. And so what we are saying is that nowhere in all creation is God inaccessible. Anywhere, He can be found. Wala sa anumang lugar sa nilikha na wala ang Diyos. Pero hindi ibig sabihin na nilalaman siya ng kanyang nilikha. Magkaiba yung dalawang bagay na yun. Kaya isang bagay ito na ang isang deduction dito, if therefore space is not something that we can attribute to God, any language in the Bible that speaks of a directional language concerning God is figurative. Minsan sinasabi na ang Diyos ay bumaba, ang Diyos ay umakyat, ang Diyos ay nagpunta sa ganito. These are figurative language. Hindi ito literal na may pinuntahan ng Diyos na parang wala siya roon. Take for example what happened to the Tower of Babel. Alam naman natin ang nangyari dyan. Nag-ambisyon ang sangkatauhan noon nang sila may isa pa lamang lengguwahe, nagagawa sila ng tore na aabot sa langit, na para bang sa kanilang palagay ay makakamit nila ang luklukan ng Diyos. At anong ginawa ng Diyos? Ang sinabi niya, come, let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So yung sinabi ritong go down, figurative yan. In the way that we use figurative language, hindi ibig sabihin na nasa taas ang Diyos at kinailangan niyang bumaba dahil wala siya roon. It is a way of condescending para maunawaan ang kanyang gagawin. Ay may gagawin siya sa mga taong ito na nag-ambisyon na siya'y abutin, ay siya ang bumaba. Nag-ambisyon silang umakyat. Binaba sila ng Diyos upang sila ay hatulan. At alam natin ang nangyari dyan. Nung matapos silang matulog, pagkagising nila, nagsalita na ng Ilocano, yung isang at iba't ibang liwika na yung kanilang mga pinagsasabi. Kaya doon nangyari yung confusion of tongues. Yung reversal niyan, on the day of Pentecost, there was speaking in tongues na anong iba't ibang wika nagkaunawaan. Dito, nagkaiba-ibang wika, hindi magkaunawaan. Ang epekto ng ebanghelyo sa iba't ibang wika na ipangaral ang dakilang gawa ng Diyos. So, but here, the point I'm making is yung language ng going down, going up, at iba't iba pang mababasa natin sa Biblia, huwag nating isipin na literal na parang nagbago ng direksyon o nagbago ng espasyo ang Diyos. This is a language that speaks of a special manifestation of God either in grace or in judgment. Of course, in this case, it's judgment. Judgment on Babel. Now, it is because of this that I want to raise my point why I cannot accept yung omnipresence as the word to describe this attribute of God. That's the reason is because the language of God's presence is special in Scripture. Special yung salitang presensya ng Diyos. Yung pagiging presensya ng Diyos ay hindi lang yung pagiging naroon ng Diyos. When God is said to be present, it is not just that God is there. Ayat yung yan yung nangyayari sa omnipresence. Ang naiisip na lang natin, God is there. At kung minsan iniinsulto pa ng iba, may mga nakakausap akong hindi nila alam, they're going to through the edge of blasphemy. Sinasabi nila, kung kahit saan naroon ang Diyos, nasa basura ba siya? This is blasphemous language because they don't understand the meaning of God's immensity. It is not just God being there. At yan yung lengguahe ng kanyang presensya. The concept of God's presence is more than just accessibility. God's presence means nearness. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Hindi lang yan omnipresence. There are many places where there is no fullness of joy. In that sense, there is no presence of God. Pero it doesn't mean that God is not accessible in whatever place. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And then meron pa nga akong presence sa worship assembly. Sinabi ng Panginoon, sapagkat kung saan nagkakatipo ng dalawa o tatlo sa aking pangalan, ay naroroon ako sa gitna nila. Again, special presence po ito. Hindi ito yung basta naroon lang ang Diyos. Ito ang pagkakamali ng mga nangangatwira na kahit sa bahay lang ako, makakasamba naman ako sa Diyos kasi ang Diyos nasa kahit saan. Kaya hindi ko kailangan pumunta ng simbahan para sumamba sa Diyos dahil pwede kong sambahin ang Diyos sa aking bahay. Nagkakamali ka. Ang pangakong presensya ng Diyos ay sa pagkakatipon ng kanyang mga tao. The covenant assembly of God's people is promised God's presence in a way that is not promised to an isolated individual worshiping all his own. Kaya muli makikita natin dito, yung presensya, hindi lang yung pagkanaroroon ng Diyos. Merong special na dala ang presensya ng Diyos. And then, kaya sa ganyang punto, nakikita natin, God's people plead for God's presence. Kung yung presence ay omnipresence lang, you don't need to plead for it. God will be there, always. But that's not presence. God's presence is pleaded with. Samuel, hindi Samuel. Yung parusak sa henerasyon ni Eli, dahil sa kanyang mga anak na mga makasalanan, nung may ipinanganak, ang ipinangalan ay Ichabod. Nang ibig sabihin, the glory has departed from Israel. Now, of course, in terms of immensity, God is not absent, never absent anywhere, including Israel. But in terms of special presence, God departed. Iniwanan, ito ang pinaka-nakakatakot mangyari sa isang iglesia. Iwanan ng Diyos. Yan ang banta niya sa ilang iglesia doon sa Letters to the Seven Churches in Revelation. Iiwanan sila. Itong napaka-nakakatakot mangyari. Because really, God's presence can be withdrawn. Pwede niyang bawiin ang kanyang presensya. Kaya the point is, presence is not simply God being there. That's the error of the concept of omnipresence. And then, etong nangyari kay Moses. Nagkasala ang Israel. Sumamba sa ginintuang baka. Anong sabi ni Yahweh? Nagbabargain, sabi ng Panginoon sa kanya. O sige, dadalhin ko na kayo sa lupang pangako. Ngunit hindi ko kayo sasamahan. Wala ang presensya ko sa inyo, pero lupang pangako. Kung tayo siguro yun, ba? Okay to. Lupang pangako. Hindi na kami maghihirap dito sa ilang, sa wilderness. Tiyak yung lupang pangako. Wala lang alam ang presensya ng Panginoon. Pero basta lupang pangako pa rin. Kumbaga sa mga naririnig natin ngayon, pupunta ako ng langit. Hindi maganda ang buhay ko ngayon. Backslider ako. Pero binigyan ako ng assurance, pupunta ako ng langit. Nakikita niyo ba how anomalous that kind of thinking is? This is Moses' answer. If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. In other words, it's not worth it. Even if it is the promised land, even if it is heaven, if your presence is not there, it's not worth it. So you see how special, gaano ka-special sa mga mananampalataya ang konsepto ng presensya ng Diyos. Hindi lang yung siya'y naroon. Napaka-payak ng ganyang pag-iisip. Yung presensya ng Diyos ay napaka-special. Hindi lahat ay may presensya ng Diyos. At ito ang panalangin ni Moises, huwag mong iwanan ang iyong bayan. Yan ang distinction. Yan ang pinaka-nagkakaiba. Sa bayan ng Diyos, may presensya ni Yahweh. Ganyan mo rin tingnan. Paano ka maiiba sa mga ibang tao ay ang presensya ng Diyos. So, God's presence is to be pleaded with by the people of God. Yung panalangin ni David, do not cast me away from your presence. And again, if this is just omnipresence, no one will be cast away from the omnipresence of God. But again, presence, God's presence is a special concept. You do not always have God's presence. There are times when you live your life and you are conscious God is not present. It doesn't mean that God is not there in terms of immensity. But we are talking of presence in a special sense. Kaya nga, God's presence can be in terms of judgment. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. Here, presence, again, is not just being there. It is a presence of judgment. So, all that I'm arguing is, pag sinabi natin the unbounded attribute of God in terms of space, omnipresence really should be understood as immensity. The immensity of God, but His presence is a special sense of state of relation. Maaring mangyari na wala ang presensya ng Diyos sa atin. Hindi ibig sabihin na nawala ang Diyos sa atin locally or spatially speaking. So we must not reduce our dealing with God to His merely being there in the place. Laging nandoon ang Diyos. Pero hindi ibig sabihin na may presensya ang Diyos sa iyong buhay. And we must practice pleading for God's special presence among His people. Yan ang kanyang pinangako, where two or three are gathered in my name. At yung pangako niya sa iglesia, nung ibigay ang Great Commission, ako'y kasama ninyong palagi hanggang sa katapusan ng panahon. Hindi lang ibig sabihin niya ng God is there. It is a special company with God. Itong pinapanalangin natin tuwi-tuwi na bilang iglesia. So anong mga practical implication ito? God's immensity. while we are talking of a special presence. Yung practical implication nito, that fact that we cannot be anywhere without God being accessible, unang-una, there is no holy place that requires of the faithful to make a religious pilgrimage. Sa ibang relihiyon, meron silang inaakala na holy place, na parang nandun ang presensya ng Diyos sa espesyal na paraan. Kaya sa mga kaibigan nating Muslim, isang requirement sa kanila, once in a lifetime, ay magkaroon ng pilgrimage sa Mecca. At yan ay magkaroon sila ng paglibot dyan sa libingan daw ni Muhammad, at yan yung tinatawag na Hajj. Kaya taon-taon yan, makikita natin ang ganyang karaming madla na lumilibot sa Mecca because yun ang holy place nila. Ngayon marami nag-aakalang mga Kristiyano, may mga holy place rin tayo, Jerusalem. Well, I'd love to one day in my lifetime visit Jerusalem, but I don't look at it as a holy place. Now, as a fond student of history, I am very fond of historic places, and definitely Jerusalem is a historic place. I have visited some historic places in my lifetime. I have touched John Bunyan's violin na kanyang ginawa sa Bedford. Masarap hipuin pero walang magic. At huwag tayo mag-isip na merong holy place na parang ando ng Diyos, mas may presensya ng Diyos doon. Wala po. Huwag tayo mag-isip ng ganyan. We must not think, or we must not reduce God to a place. At hindi tayo naniniwalam na merong religious formula para makapture natin yung presensya ng Diyos. We don't believe in these magical formulas. And at the same time, it is a sobering warning that no one can stay away from God. Bagaman sila ay humukay hanggang sa Sheol, mula ro'y kukunin sila ng aking kamay, bagaman sila ay umakyat hanggang sa langit, mula ro'y ibababa ko sila. Again, this is figurative language of exaggeration. Wala namang makapaghukay hanggang sa Sheol, walang makakaakyat hanggang sa langit. But the point is, even if we grant na kaya nilang gawin yon, hindi sila makakalayo sa Diyos. Pumunta man sila sa pinakamalayong mararating, hindi nila malalayuan ang Diyos. And that is a warning. That is the reason why this is something that we need to take seriously. But then, on a positive note, sa mga panahon na tayo ay nabibigatan, it is an assuring comfort that everywhere we are, God is available, even when others are not. Nalalagay tayo sa lugar na yung dati mong inaasahan, wala. Hindi naman siguro fault niya, pero talagang that's man, limited. He cannot be where you want him to be. I-text mo, hindi nagte-text back, walang load. At maaaring iba pang dahilan, pero andun yung limitation. But look at the assurance of the psalmist. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me, refuge has failed me, no one cares for my soul. And yet, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Mawala man yung lahat, hindi mo mawala ang Diyos sa ang lugar ka man, sa ang kalagayan ka man. Dahil sa ang Diyos ay nasa sa lahat. Yan ang pinagbabatayan ng ating pag-asa at kaaliwan. But what does this mean to Jesus Christ? Nung ipanganak si Jesus, kung siya ay maging tao, anong nangyari sa kanya? Well, part of his state of humiliation, sinabi natin kanina, space is contained by God, not vice versa. But when Jesus was born, Jesus was really contained by space. He was in his mother's womb. Totoo yun. And when he lived on earth, ang sabi, he grew up in wisdom and stature. Tumangkad din siya, lumaki physically. He dwelt among us. Yan ang katunayan ng pagpapakababa ni Jesus. Siya na infinite, when he became man, he really became finite. Hindi ito pagkukunwari. Totoo siyang naging finite, contained by space. And in that sense, He became like you and me, except sin. So kung isusuma natin ito, maraming lugar ang hindi natin mararating, pero isipin natin saan man yun, naroon ang ating Diyos. Yung mga hindi natin mararating siguro, hindi makikita. This is National Geographic's photo of the month. A manatee in Kings Bay, Florida. So, hindi naman tayo siguro sisisid para makita pa yan. And yet, imagine that even there, sa kalaliman ng dagat, ay hindi nawawala ang Diyos sa kanyang presensya. So, let the application be in the language of the psalmist. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Napansin niyo ba yung very present? Why did he have to say very present? Because actually, it's just either you're present or not. But to give that assurance, ang sinasabi niya, talagang isipin mo, hindi mawawala ang Diyos. He is very present in times of troubles. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam in the mountains quake with their surging, God is our refuge and our strength. So wherever we are, we have the infinite God to praise. God is there to praise wherever we are. Any question? G.
Pastor May, nakausap ako one time sharing gospel and talking about yung omnipresence of God. Ang tanong niya ay, even in hell, nandun ang God, kung yung idea nga ng omnipresence, He is everywhere. So even in hell, nandun pala ang God. Pero dito, dun sa pag-explain nyo kanina, presence as a state of relation, parang yun, that clarifies na God cannot be there in hell. Tama po ba?
Yes, God cannot be there in terms of the presence of that favor that He has with His people. In fact, hell is described in 2 Thessalonians 1 na God is casting out the disobedient from His presence. So, hell is that place where there is no presence of God in the sense of that special presence that He has still in creation. But it doesn't mean that God is not aware of what's going on in hell. Tina.
Pastor, dun po sa Psalms 139, verses 7 to 8, where can I go from your spirit or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Ano po ang explanation nyo dito sa verses na to?
Well, so I've said yung in terms of immensity, in terms of the of God being immense so that He contains everything, that certainly includes hell. And remember, yung hell dyan is Sheol, which is the state of the dead. In the state of the dead, God is also available. God is also accessible, even in the state of the dead. Pero in terms of the favorable presence of God, hell, yung final state hell, which is 2 Thessalonians 1, is that place where the wicked will be consigned so that they never will have the favorable presence of God at any time for eternity. So in that sense, hell, final state hell, is the place that is cast away from the favorable presence of God. At yun nga ang nakakapangilabot sa final state of the wicked is because this is the final state where there is no favorable presence of God at all. Sa creation na alam natin, wherever you are, however miserable, there will always still be the presence of God. The final state of the wicked is a place where God's presence will never favor them. So, pinag-iiba natin dito ay yung sinikap kong pag-ibahin when we talk of the presence of God, immensity, it covers everything, including hell. Presence is something that we need to understand more in terms of a state of relation. And final state of the wicked is where God has broken all relation. Other questions?
Pastor, hindi ko lang sure kung tama yung pagkarinig ko kanina or understanding ko. You mentioned a while ago na, especially during the Sabbath, na kaya nga yung mananampalataya ay hindi dapat siya nasa bahay lang, kundi dapat dumadalo siya. Kasi ang presensya ng Panginoon or special na presensya ng Panginoon ay naandun lamang sa lugar ng panambahan.
Yes.
So that does that mean na kung yung mananampalataya ay naandun lang sa bahay, ay wala yung presensya ng Diyos doon?
Wala yung promised presence to the covenant assembly.
So wala pong silbi kahit manalangin siya, parang hindi niya.
We're not saying na walang saysay yung kanyang pananalangin o pagsambang personal. Meron, pero yung pangakong presensya sa pagtitipo ng iglesia, iba yun sa personal na pakikipag-ugnayan natin sa ating Diyos. Ngayon, kung gamitin natin yung ating personal na pakikipag-ugnayan bilang pamalit sa pagtitipo ng iglesia, sa aking palagay, yun ay mali.
Thank you pa, Pastor. Clear pa.
Okay. Siyempre, may mga pagkakataon na it is an abnormal Sunday for us and we cannot be in the covenant assembly of the church for reasons that are not our own making. So we understand all those things, pero under normal circumstances, now we can attend the Sunday assembly. We should attend because that's where God promised His covenant presence. Kaya sinabi niya, where two or three? Kasi tapagtitipon talaga. Hindi niya sinabing wherever you are, there am I with you. Kundi where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them. Other questions or thoughts you like to share? Thank
you. Meron pong some churches or congregation na they encourage family worship. Actually, yung dati kong church, na pag hindi naging feasible, yung pamilya na hindi maka-attend ng pagtitipon sa church, in-encourage nun na kahit sa bahay ay mag-worship. Although marami akong questions nun eh, pero how do you treat that, Pastor?
Well, definitely we encourage family worship and we try to motivate one another for that to be exercised ng mga pamilya. Pero wag natin gagawing pamalit doon sa panambahan ng iglesia. Yung panambahan ng iglesia ay panambahang mandato ng Diyos sa kanyang iglesia at hindi pwedeng ipamalit yung individual o kahit pa yung pampamilya na panambahan. Dahil ang iglesia ay siyang komunidad na binigyan ng Diyos ng kanyang mandato, we need to be a worshiping church together. Kaya I will encourage every family to have its family worship, but it is not a substitute for the covenant assembly of the church. Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Other thoughts? Test.
Pero nung una niyo pong itinuro sa amin ang attributes of God ay sama po yung omnipresence. Kailan po parang nadagdagan ang kaalaman at naging immensity.
It means I'm growing. Ako man ay lumalago sa pananaliksik at dumating ako sa punto na, of course, other writers have written on this themselves, and I have come to the point that simply reducing presence, God's presence, to omnipresence will miss the very special note the scriptures give to the presence of God. Kaya nga hindi mo maipapaliwan, kung omnipresence lang yan, how can it be withdrawn? Omnipresence cannot be withdrawn. there is no place on earth where God is not omnipresent in the traditional sense. Pero presence can be withdrawn. So, yung sabi, merong special na katuturan yung presensya ng Diyos na hindi natin pwedeng itumbas lang sa pagkanaroroon niya. Yung presensya ng Diyos ay may special na dala na presensya. Kaya nga, how do you explain Moses pleading? If your presence will not go with us, do not bring us to the promised land. So it means that it is possible for God to withdraw His presence. And that in fact, sa mga mananampalataya at sa iglesia, ito ang katakutan natin na hindi na tayo samahan ng Panginoon. Of course, we can always say God is there, omnipresence. But the point is God there, presence? Because it is possible for God not to be there in His presence, even if He is omnipresent. I would prefer immensity than omnipresence in my mature years as a theologian. Immensity. Pwedeng si kalakhan, pero kulang pa rin. So, anong mas katumbas ng immensity, which means He covers all? Hindi ito immensity na you can even think of size. Because when we think of God, there is no measure in God. Tayo, ay may length tayo, may height tayo, may part tayo na hindi yung ulo natin, may part tayo na hindi yung paa natin, but we cannot think of God in terms of size or parts. As though there is a part of God there and then extending towards the west is another part of God, and that is not even what we mean by God's immensity. So, kung may maisip ng mas akmang Tagalog for immensity, tell me. Ian.
Pastor, can a non-Christian have an awareness of the presence of God the same with a believer? Kasi you will hear testimonies, for example, from other people na parang na-experience nila ang God or something.
Well, yes, I believe that a consciousness of God's presence is possible. But we must be careful because there can be counterfeit consciousness of God's presence. Well, gamitin natin yung nangyari sa 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 25 nung may panauhing dumalo sa iglesia at ang kanyang naging pahayag. Sinabi niya, verse 24 and 25, but if all prophesy, and prophesy means declare the word as revelation, an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all, the secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. So, narito ang isang tao na may kamalayan siya ng presensya ng Diyos, pero ano ang dahilan na nakarating siya sa ganung kamalayan, na-convict siya ng salita ng Diyos at nasumbatan ng kanyang kasalanan. At so in other words, the real consciousness of God's presence is the product of the effects of the Word. Mag-ingat tayo dun sa nagsasabing may presence ng Panginoon kasi nanginginig siya o na-slain in the Spirit o nag-speak in tongues o nagsasayaw siya. Mag-ingat tayo sa mga ganong pag-aangkin. True presence of God is the product of the impact of His Word. O, iba-ibang impact yan. Dito, conviction. It can be comfort. It can be assurance. It can be courage. It can be commission. But it is a product of the Word. Doon natin tingnan yung presensya ng Diyos sa atin. Odik.
Pastor, dito po sa Exodus chapter 3, yung encounter ni Moses sa God. Sabi niya dito siya sa verse 5, kanyang sinabi, huwag kang lumapit dito, ubarin mo ang sandalyas sa iyong mga paa, sapagkat ang dakong iyong kinatatayuan ay banal na lupa. Ano pong significance nung pag-aalis ng sandalyas ni Moses?
Well, it's a way of show of respect doon sa, dahil naging ang presensya ng Diyos ay bumaba sa lugar na yun. Imagine, it was a bleak place, yun ay dawag, ilang, walang special kang masasabi rin dito kagaya ng napakagandang view ng nature. Sabihin mo, madaling makita ang Diyos dito. Ilang was dry, barren, and then suddenly, there was this bush that was on fire but not consumed. Eh, doon pa lang may mensahe na ang Diyos sa kay Moses na kung saan sumama ang Diyos sa kanyang bayan, hindi sila matutupok. And therefore, as a sign of respect na this is something different, pinaghubad yung sandalyas ni Moses, which is an oriental way of showing respect. Kapag pumapasok ng bahay ang mga oriental doon sa kanilang kultura, inaalis ang kanilang mga footwear. Maski ngayon, makikita mong difference pag pumasok ka sa isang American house, ang kultura nila ay, you are welcome, all of you. Dito ka. Kaya pwede kang pumasok kasama sapatos mo. Huwag mong gagawin niya sa Chinese o Japanese na bahay. Ang kultura nila, igaalam mo ang bahay ko. Kaya sa isang Chinese house, iiwanan mo yung footwear mo sa pintuan. So ganun yung oriental way of showing respect. So when Moses was commanded to remove his sandal, it was to show reverence to a place where God's presence has come down. Now, hindi ako naniniwala na kailangan gawin natin yon na hubarin ng sapatos pag tayo pumunta sa bahay panambahan. Although, Chinese churches do that. Pag pumunta ka sa mga Chinese churches, iiwanan mo pa rin ang sapatos mo sa pintuan. Other questions? But of course, there are other ways of showing respect. Na ikaw ay nasa presensya ng Diyos sa pagtitipo ng iglesia, there are ways of showing respect, for example, in the way we dress up. The way you would dress casually somewhere else, medyo ibahin mo naman pag ikaw ay nasa panambahan. Maski sa 1 Timothy 2, nakasulat yan tungkol sa pagtitipo ng iglesia. So there are ways of showing respect, not necessarily removing one's footwear. Other thoughts? So what should that mean to us in terms of practical outworking ng immensity? Tina?
Indeed po, we have an awesome God who is not just omnipresent, but His attribute na immensity po ay talagang malaki pong pagpapala. Yan nga pong sa Psalms 139, malaki po itong blessing sa akin dahil totoo po na kahit po nasan tayo, nandun po siya. He is indeed a God who is ever present, our very present help in times of trouble. Kahit na nasa bahay tayo, kahit nasa kung saan gawain, kung nasa labas, kahit saan lugar, alam po natin na kahit anong maging katayuan natin, kung nalulungkot, kung masaya, kung meron tayong kailangan, kung nasa danger po tayo, yun pong kaisipan, yung pong kamalayan na nandun ang Panginoon, ay alam po natin na we have a God who is just a prayer away. So, kahit nawawala na po tayo sa lingguhang panambahan natin, madadala po natin yung kamalayan na to na meron tayong isang Diyos na pagtitiwalaan ng ating buhay sa araw-araw. At yun po, marapat lang po talaga na dakilain po natin ang ating Diyos na totoo.
Okay, thank you, Tina. A very present help. Yan ang sinabi sa Psalm 46, at nasa gitna iyon ang kaguluhan, both natural as well as national, siguro digmaan, and yet in those worst of times, God is very present. Naroroon siya sa gayong mga panahon, and He is just a, uh, He is someone we can always call upon wherever we are. So, i-practice natin yon. And the last thought, Papu.
Sa kasaysayan po ni Samson sa Book of Judges, ano po bang ibig sabihin no na si Samson ay iniwanan na ng Panginoon?
Well, at a certain point na siya ay naging bihag ng mga Pilistiyo dahil sa kanyang pagsuway sa tuntunin ng Diyos, lalo't lumabag siya sa kanyang sinumpang bilang isang Nazirite, iniwanan siya ng Diyos. Ibig sabihin, yung dating presensya ng Diyos sa kanyang buhay ay nawala at nakita yon sa pagkawala ng kanyang angking lakas at yung kanyang pagkakagapi ng mga Pilistiyo. Pero isa ring makikita natin doon, kapag binawi ng Diyos ang kanyang presensya, hindi ibig sabihin na tuluyan ang mawawala sapagkat binalikan si Samson ang siya ay nagsisi na ng kanyang kasalanan at nagkaroon ng muling pagkakataon na bumalik sa kalooban ng Diyos, ay ibinalik ng Panginoon ang kanyang presensya sa kanya. Kaya yes, there are times when God's presence is withdrawn from us in terms of that special equipping presence at nawawala sa atin. Yet, hindi ibig sabihin na tuluyan na iyong nawawala, kundi hinihintay niya na tayo ay magbalik loob sa kanya upang ipanumbalik yung presensya na yon. So the life of Samson is both a warning as well as an assurance that God's presence is something that we can experience once we return to His will. Ian.
Pastor, there was this character in Pilgrim's Progress of the man who should serve as an example for us na he repeatedly, parang he repeatedly sinned and then na-harden na yung heart niya and then hindi na niya maibalik yung presence of God.
The man in the cage. It was in the house of the interpreter where Christian went and then pinakita sa kanya isang tao na nasa hawla and then Christian approached him and asked him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am now what I once was not." And when he was asked, "What were you once?" "I was once a flourishing professor, but what happened was when I left off watching." I'm just quoting from memory, not the exact words, but yun yung man in the cage who left off watching. And so, yun ang naging larawan ni John Bunyan ng apostate. A man who had a experience of professing Christianity, but because he left off watching his life, he became an apostate. So, you have a question about that character?
Parang yung believer ba is in danger also of committing such experiencing such a situation?
Well, there's the warning of apostasy, Hebrews, which we take seriously. It does not mean that salvation can be lost. But the very warning is a means of grace to be taken seriously so that we will not turn apostate. Kasi ang ginagawa ng iba, tinitake nila by logic. Ay, hindi naman mawawala ang kaligtasan. So, hindi para sa akin yan. Maling approach yun. Totoong hindi mawawala ang kaligtasan, pero yung mga warning na yon ay parang means of grace natin so that mag-iingat tayo at hindi mawawala ang kaligtasan sa talagang totoong nagpapakita ng ebidensya ng kaligtasan. Fe?
Pastor, kasi pinag-uusapan natin yung ano ba yun? Yung patungkol sa pagiging Diyos ng Diyos. Pastor, tama ba na kung hindi mo talaga ma-comprehend yung pagiging Diyos ng Diyos, is it right na i-acknowledge mo lang that there is truly a great mystery when it comes to yung pagiging God niya, sa Godhead? Kasi, Pastor, nung last, I think it was Wednesday, nagkaroon kami ng opportunity ni John na mag-lead ng Bible study kasi death anniversary ng lola ko. So So nakuha tong opportunity para yung isang auntie ko na sobrang ano siya, matalino siya. Marami na siya mga research na nagawa, nakapagbasa na rin siya ng Biblia. So parang ang naging ano niya ay dahil nako-confuse na siya dun sa nababasa niya sa Biblia, ang sabi niya is parang na itatake ko na lang yung faith ko sa pamamagitan ng declaration ng Panginoon sa nature, tapos sa pag cling on dun sa Ten Commandments. So kasi inaano niya ro na may mga na-research siya about patungkol sa Bible, na yung Bible na hinahawakan natin ngayon is not complete. Kasi daw po ay mayroon siya mga nabasang research sa internet na mayroon pang mga natangpo ang scroll sa Egypt. Ganun pang natapos may mga writings para si Judas, si Mary, at kung sino-sino pang iba na sabi niya. So, ang ano niya kasi doon is, kung ano na lang yung pagkakaunawa niya sa Diyos, ayun na lang ang sasampalatayanan niya. So, ang inano kasi sa kanya, Pastor, ay sabi ko, Auntie, hindi mo makakonceptualize lang ang Panginoon sa ganyang bagay, kundi kailangan ang panampalatayanan natin ay yung Diyos na itinalaga kung ano yung sinasabi ng salita ng Diyos. Kaya nga lang, hindi mo siya ma-persuade sa ganon kasi nga marami siyang mga research na ginawa at meron nag-exist na mga research na pati po ako ay nagulat na meron pa mga natagpuang ganon. So, ang naging encouragement ko na lang po sa kanya, Auntie, huwag mo sobrang pahirapin yung simpleng pamamaraan na actually, hindi simple para sa Panginoon na yung kaligtasan ay masumpungan mo sa pamamagitan ng Panginoong Hesukristo. So, tama ba yung ganung pastor na ito yung pagkakaunawa ko sa Diyos, kaya dito na lang ako?
Well, una, dun sa tanong mo na pwede bang i-take natin ng Diyos as Diyos na hindi natin maunawaan, well, of course, ultimately, there is something incomprehensible about God. We will never come to any exhaustive comprehension of God. Talagang infinite siya. At sa susunod nga, pag-aaralan natin yung kanyang omniscience, ibig sabihin, napakalawak ng kanyang kaalaman na hindi natin malirip. At ngunit, ang maganda rito, nagpahayag siya. Yung kailangang malaman natin, ipinahayag niya. At ito nga ay sa kanyang salita. Anong sasabihin mo sa tao na dahil may nabasa siya sa internet, ang ipinahayag ng Diyos ay kanya nang i-dismiss? Hindi yan karunungan. Yan ay bias at arrogance. At of course, alam ko na kailang magalang ka magsalita sa mga ganong tao. Pero magsasabi siya na may na-discover sa Egypt ng mga scrolls. Pinag-aralan na yan. Naghamadi sa Egypt ay mga Gnostic scrolls na much later sa Petsa kaysa sa Biblia. Kaya yung mga nababasa niya sa internet at may mga sinulat pa si Judas, matagal na yung inangki, hindi siyang unang nakadiscovery niyan. Pinag-aralan na yan at ipakita na yung kamalian ng mga yan. So, it's not a new thing. It is just unfortunate siguro nabasa ng auntie mo at gumawa na siya agad ng konklusyon. Kapag binabasa natin ang Biblia at hindi natin lubos na maunawaan, ano ang humble conclusion? I need more knowledge. Ang conclusion na ay hindi ko maunawaan, ito na lang ang gusto ko, Ten Commandments plus this, that is an arrogant conclusion. Ang tamang conclusion ay kailangan ko pa ng karunungan para mas maunawaan ko ang ibinigay ng Diyos. So, gamitin natin yung Biblia na pabor ng Diyos para ipakilala ang kanyang sarili. Hindi natin maunawaan yan sa unang basa, dalawang basa, mahigit 30 taon ko nang pinag-aaralan, marami pa rin akong hindi maunawaan. That doesn't bring me to the conclusion na hindi natin maunawaan ang Biblia, kundi my conclusion is kulang talaga ang kaalaman ko. Ngunit may ibang nag-aaral na matututo tayo para mas lalo nating makilala ang ating Diyos. So, titingnan natin ito sa idalawang uri pa ng kanyang infinity, His infinite in His power, at ito'y mas makapanggigilala sa atin, at yung infinite, boundless in His knowledge, sa kanyang kaalaman, at dito tayo magpakababang loob na yung nalalaman natin ay parang hinipo lang natin yung edge ng kanyang kaalaman, pero napakalaking pabor na yun sa atin na binigyan tayo ng gayong kaalaman. So let's bring these things to God in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kami sa iyong kabutihang loob sa amin na nagpakilala ka sa pamamagitan ng iyong salita. At sa iyong pagpapakilala, hindi namin lubos pang mauunawaan ang mga nakasulat sa Biblia, subalit bahagi ito ng aming pagkakilala sa iyo. At ngayon ay nanggigilalas kami sa isang katangian mo na iyong inihayag ang iyong kalakhan, your immensity, that there is nowhere in this creation that you are inaccessible. You are there. We can always find you. At dahil dito, Panginoon, ay tulungan mo kami na tunay na manggilalas at magpuri sa iyong pangalan, sapagkat nariyan ka sa lahat ng dako. Ikaw ay hindi mo mawala at maari ka naming tawagan. You are a very present help in time of trouble that we can call upon you. We can pray to you. But at the same time, help us, Lord, to understand more in a special way your presence with your people. Hindi ka lamang naroon, kundi meron kang relasyon na kinauugnayan sa iyong mga tao. At ito nawa ang katakutan namin na bawiin mo sa amin ang iyong presensya. At katulad ni Moises, ang panalangin nawa namin ay lubos na pagpapahalaga sa iyong presensya, that even securing great blessings such as the promised land is not worthwhile without your presence with us. So as a church, we plead, and as individuals, we plead that your presence may go with us. Yet at the same time, we thank you for your immensity, that it is an assurance to us that you are available even when others are not. And may it elicit in us such humble praise to your name, that you are the immense God. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.